WWE publicly acknowledges the terrible Monday Night Raw booking over the past few weeks. Corey Graves is now the woman. And your TLC pay-per-view predictions. Let's get that started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you to everybody listening to my voice. I do appreciate your time and attention to the show, because if you click on the show and you like wrestling, well, then you're in the right place. This is the WWE Podcast, which means that this is all about WWE. And I know that there's lots of other promotions out there, but this is all about the largest promotion in the sport of professional wrestling, and that is World Wrestling Entertainment. So, guys, thanks again for joining me. You can follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast, as always. And you guys know the routine. If you don't like ads and you want to get rid of those darn ads, you can do that at patreon.com/WWE Podcast. And in there, you can also not just get rid of the ads, but also get a shout out on the show. And even come on the show, and even direct an entire show with me, or just give me a topic to singularly talk about for the entire show. It's pretty damn cool. I really would love to be able to interact with you guys and hear what you want me to talk about. And so that's an option for you. I'm also on iHeartRadio now, which is pretty damn cool. I'm also on Spotify and Google Play and Apple Podcasts and all that stuff. So follow me, though, on Twitter, which is where you'll see and hear it all at the WWE Podcast. So, guys, this is TLC week, the final pay-per-view before the road to WrestleMania. And there's a lot to get to, and I'm going to get to it. And we have a marathon pay-per-view coming up of 12 matches. Count them, 12. 12 matches on WWE TLC. And I'm going to get to my predictions there. I think with the number of matches, you're going to see many matches, a handful, probably three or four of them, go very quickly. And then when I may say very quickly by pay-per-view standards, I mean less than 10 minutes. And you may have some longer matches to make up for those ones that do indeed get cut in terms of time. And so it's 12 is a lot. 12 is a lot of matches. I know that WrestleMania, you know, can exceed that number, but man, that's a lot of time to just introduce the audience to all your characters and try to get them invested in all the storylines and caught up on all the stories. And it's a chore to me. I mean, if I was running a wrestling promotion, I would make about, you know, 10 matches or less, probably stick around more of the 6 to 8 range, because 12 is just it's a beast. All right, so before I get into some Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live highlights, and I do have some, and lowlights, and differing opinions, is this whole deal with Corey Graves and Becky Lynch. It's heating up, folks. People are typing away with their fingers, and things are getting heated. That's how celebrities and really common folk battle nowadays, is keyboard warriors. And look, Becky Lynch is on fire. There's no question about that. And she attacked Corey Graves. Not unprovoked, though. So, in case you guys don't understand what's happening, Becky Lynch is responding to allegations made by Corey Graves. Corey Graves was claiming that Becky Lynch was acting too cocky for her own good and talks way too much on social media. So Becky Lynch responds to this on Twitter and says that, so Graves has been saying I'm too cocky and I talk too much on social media. Like, that's a bad thing. I drum up more interest in one tweet than you do with 5 hours of your Heenan light routine every week. Listen, I'm here to make history. You're just here to observe me do it. To which Corey Graves would reply with the following: I'll admit it, it's tough to go full Heenan when the boss is actually paying attention to your work. You'll realize that someday. So this seems a little bit of – has a little legitimacy outside of a storyline, because there is no storyline to this. I don't know what you can develop from this other than Corey Graves is at times a heel announcer. I think that that's where they're positioning Corey Graves as, is typically siding with the heels, except when it comes to Roman Reigns, in which case he has to back him regardless of whatever storyline is happening and whatever position that the heel commentators are in. They all just turn babyface when Roman Reigns comes out. But again, he's not even on the product. He hasn't been on the product in over a month. But this whole story with Becky and Corey Graves is seeming to catch fire right now, and I don't know the purpose of it. I really don't. Maybe this is just Becky being Becky. Both individuals are well aware of how public their tweets are and how people just go gaga sometimes over these Twitter battles that are oftentimes manufactured. And in this case, I really don't know. I think there's a little bit of truth and a little bit of legitimate frustration on both sides, and it's just fun though. Right now it's fun to see Becky Lynch on Twitter, who seems to be torching everyone in her path, who has just flipped a switch, gone into that next gear, and is just worlds better on the mic and presence than her female counterparts on either show. And to be honest with you, WWE, quote, turning Charlotte heel may end up backfiring in WWE, or at least if their idea was, well, we'll turn her heel and maybe she'll get the reaction that Becky did when we tried to turn her heel. So it's almost as if WWE is trying to turn their stars babyface by actually turning them heel, meaning we can't actually legitimately in a straightforward manner turn our stars heel or babyface. We have to do it in a backwards way because we are doing the opposite of what we should be to actually get the reaction we want. It's just the most ridiculous thing. And if that's the case, I think Charlotte, while people think that she is the leader of the women's locker room, I think you are sadly mistaken. I think Becky Lynch right now is the man. And she is what she says she is. So this idea that Charlotte is the queen bee, I think, needs to be pulled back a bit. I mean, I think the fans are sensing that Vince McMahon has been behind Charlotte this whole time, and that Charlotte is the female counterpart of Roman Reigns. And when you take Becky Lynch, who has a more organic feel, and the fans have gone through her struggles and been through her on the ups and downs and her journey, and she's really cut her teeth in NXT and earn the respect of fans in over the years on SmackDown Live and on Raw when she was on Raw. This to me is a more organic connection with the fans than one that is, okay, well, Charlotte was here, but you know, she's pretty much had the championship since she debuted on the main roster. I mean, that's how it's just felt. She's got that Roman Reigns push, and Becky Lynch has been, for all intents and purposes, booked really crappy over the last few years. And fans notice this. They know this. And when they tell you they want someone and they feel a connection with someone, that is something that WWE can't manufacture. It's something that oftentimes Vince McMahon is forced into doing, a la the biggest example of them all, Daniel Bryan, towards WrestleMania 30. So this is an organic, real connection that they have with the fans, with Becky and the fans. So if they're trying to position Charlotte in the short or long term against Becky in the roles that they are currently cast, I just have two words: good luck. I mean, the fans are going to do – it's the same dynamic with Roman and or Daniel Bryan. When Daniel Bryan was, you know, at his hottest as a babyface, they're going to cheer for who they feel the connection with, not who they are being told that they should cheer for because Vince McMahon sees something we don't see. So I just wanted to get that off my chest a bit. But this whole thing with Corey Graves, I don't know where it's going. I don't know where it's leading. I don't know the end game. I don't know if there is an end game. I don't know. I'm sure Corey will somehow get his digs in on Monday Night Raw or on next SmackDown Live and somehow, some way, get a little shot in on Becky. And Becky will retaliate. I don't know. But there's no end game here. They can't have a match, obviously, for more than one reason. Okay, I mean, they're never going to have a male versus female match again in WWE on top of the fact that Corey Graves is an announcer, a retired performer, a retired wrestler. It's not going to happen, obviously. So I don't know what the end game is here. Maybe just to get more exposure for Becky. I don't know. But it's just noteworthy at this time. So that is that's my thought there. And guys, we have TLC. TLC. Tables, ladders, and chairs. So that's coming, and I'll get to my predictions in just a moment. But before I do that, and listen, if you guys heard my quick, I believe it was a 6 or 7 minute opinion on this whole Seth Rollins that people are really panning about WWE just coming out and admitting openly that, yeah, our show has sucked. And using Seth Rollins as the voice of the fans and using Baron Corbin as the scapegoat, who really is in real life Vince McMahon that the fans are speaking to. So it's really the fans speaking to Vince McMahon, but it manifested in Seth Rollins versus and Baron Corbin, which, I mean, I get, right? You can't have Vince come out there. But people are just like, oh, you know, why would WWE publicly admit that their show has sucked? It's called ownership, folks. Ownership. It takes balls to do that. It makes me feel good as a fan that someone's actually listening and they acknowledge it very transparently on air. I liked it. Okay, you know, was it perfectly done? No, it wasn't perfectly done. But they addressed a lot of the concerns that, ironically or coincidentally, or maybe not so coincidentally, were addressed on a lot of podcasts. And then the internet wrestling community, which is whole total garbage. Okay, and I said this before, I'll say it again. If you heard my show, I apologize if this is a bit of a duplicate response, but it's worth mentioning that the internet wrestling community, guys, it doesn't exist in the vacuum and microcosm, small little, in my mom's basement, you know, hiding behind a keyboard, trashing people way anymore. This label of internet wrestling community, I mean, I guess you could label it as that, but who the hell is a WWE fan that's also not an internet fan? Or unless they're just addressing the fact that anybody who is, you know, talking crap about WWE is on Twitter just, oh, they're venting about WWE. Wait a minute. Hundreds of millions of people use social media every day for all kinds of purposes. It's exploded, okay? So to try to minimize this label of internet wrestling community, it doesn't exist anymore in the way it did in the early to mid and even late 90s. It doesn't exist like that anymore. So when WWE or when shows and other people feel that WWE is pandering and speaking to the internet wrestling community, that kind of group, that old label doesn't exist anymore. Okay, that's passé. It's gone. It's just now the fans, because everybody is a internet fan. Okay, if you watch WWE. I don't get it. Okay, so I'm going in circles, but you guys get my drift now. So I just like the way that WWE addressed it. I do. I give them credit for it. And people say that, well, Baron Corbin wasn't responsible for Drake Maverick. Why did Seth have to bring that up as a point that Drake Maverick, you know, urination, ha ha ha. Of course. And that's actually exactly what I said word for word, right? It's just childish, juvenile, terrible Vince McMahon humor that I'm sure he grits his teeth and says, "What's wrong with these people? That's hilarious." I'm sure he still does that at his, you know, ripe age of 70 years old. I'm sure he does. But the fact is that they acknowledged it, and Baron Corbin, while he was not responsible, they could have just framed it a little bit better. And, okay, this is where the perfection part did not happen, and Seth could have just said, "Hey, look, and while you weren't directly responsible for this, Baron, this all happened on your watch. This kind of stuff is happening on your watch. You know, like, he could have just said on your watch, you know, under your leadership, not you were responsible for or you booked this, okay? They maybe could have framed it a little bit better and been more general, that just, hey, while you're in charge, all this stuff's happening. And while you weren't directly responsible for it, nor did you have any hand in it, it's still happening and shows that you have no control and are out of touch. I mean, there's ways to say it and do it that criticism would not have existed. But I get what they were doing, and I give them credit, guys. What the hell? What's the deal? So what? That shows integrity. It shows you're listening. Really, I mean, come on now. All right. So that's all I have to say about that whole Seth Rollins segment, which I enjoyed. I didn't love, but I liked it. I thought it was good. And again, that the TLC match, I think, on Raw, I think was very good too. I like how Dean Ambrose did not get involved. I don't think there was any reason for him to get involved, actually, when you think about it. Not just because, A, it would have been very predictable, but two, or B, whichever one you want to choose, why would Dean Ambrose cost Seth Rollins the Intercontinental Championship on Raw? Why would he do that, knowing that he is in an Intercontinental Championship match at TLC in 6 days? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So he would have made sure, I mean, although he's a heel, but he had no reason to try to take the belt from Rollins and give it to Corbin. And none, zero. It would have not have benefited him at all. So those of you that thought that Ambrose was going to come out and cost him the belt, I mean, not in that instance. So, but I enjoyed the match. I thought it was very well done. I really did. It was one of the few highlights of Monday Night Raw. In a Raw that was not as juvenile and terrible in the booking, but just kind of like, one of those shows that if you miss, you don't really miss. It felt as if it was a just kind of like, well, it's a go home show, but I think the go home show mentality is gone, or at least the urgency of a go home show for WWE, and I think that's been that way for some time now. Pay per view buys don't exist anymore for WWE. It's all about the network and subscriptions and subscribers and free month now and all that. So I don't know if there's such an urgency as a go-home show anymore for WWE, as the network is kind of a rolling subscription-based model. It's not it's a one-time, one-off. I got to have somebody sign up today. Well, no, you don't really have to, because they can be sold in many different ways every single day, because there's not just one pay-per-view a month anymore. So I just feel the urgency of a go-home show is not so urgent anymore for WWE. And it's been that way, not just for this month of awful Raw, but just really over the couple of years now. Last couple of years have really felt that way, that I've always been, more often than not, felt flat for a go-home show, even to WrestleMania over the last couple of years. I mean, we all remember that just awful tug-of-war between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar over the WWE Championship, Universal Championship, a couple of years ago, that they were just literally playing tug of war with it like children. I mean, just for a photo op that went on WWE.com. I mean, really, that kind of stuff is crap. I mean, really? I'm off my soapbox on that one. All right. So just some other things that I want to touch on before I get to my predictions for TLC. We had a change in championships on Monday Night Raw. While it was not the Intercontinental Championship, it was the Raw Tag Team Championships. And we have new tag champions of Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, and they beat the Authors of Pain. And how did they do it? They beat Drake Maverick. And again, I'm hearing people rip on this because Chad Gable and Bobby Roode are babyface, I guess, right? Well, I guess when they're in the presence of the Authors of Pain, they are. And they've been, I guess, mildly likable over the last month or so. So you have these two beat and roll up Drake Maverick to pin him for the tag team championships. And it's the criticism as well. They beat Drake Maverick. They beat a manager. Yeah. Okay. I get that they didn't actually beat the real meat of the team that matters, because they're trying to protect these two. And I get that. But the heels here knew the rules of the match going in. And putting Drake Maverick in, allowing him to even tag in the match, was foolish on the heel part. So why as a babyface would you not take advantage of that? The heels got outsmarted in that case. It was a handicap match. The heels knew fully the rules of the match when they engaged in it. Of course, in a storyline perspective. But I'm not following how this really takes away from Chad Gable and Bobby Roode's tag team title win. Assuming they don't just play hot potato with it and have them hand it right back, basically, at TLC to these to Chad Gable or to Authors of Pain. Assuming that they hold it for a while and actually face real competition and don't pin managers or roll up. You know, I can kind of understand that, they beat Drake Maverick and it was a roll-up. Okay, but again, they beat him fair and square. All right? So I don't know. I'm really disagreeing with, typically when I listen to shows and other podcasts and I get some good ideas. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. I agree with that. Lately, it's been, what? Really? Come on. I mean, those are really the phrases I've been using over the last few weeks, really. And the whole disagreement about exploiting Roman Reigns' illness and, anything that's based in reality and people can relate to. Oh, the alcohol. Oh, Samoa Joe's at a bar. Grow up, folks. Grow a set. Welcome to the real world. Yes, this is a fantasy product, but how do you get emotionally engaged? You tell good stories. And how do you tell good stories? Sometimes it has to be based in truth. Grow a set. Grow up. And those of you that are offended need to just hit the bricks, basically. So, I mean, seriously, I'm fired up today. See, I mean, really, I just this whole soft audience, even the soft analysts now of WWE, and I get it's a PG product. I get it. I totally understand it's PG, and they're not going back. But you're telling me that you're going to get offended by something that, I knew someone who had an alcohol problem. I don't know if I can handle that. That triggers me. Seriously, hit the road. Really. Hit the road. Go watch Care Bears. I don't know. Something. SpongeBob. Something that won't offend you. I'm sure you'll find something. Just like, why don't you go listen to Baby It's Cold Outside? People are getting ridiculous. Suggesting, and JR touched on this on his podcast too, and he gave me the idea that I'm not going to regurgitate what he said from his opinion because I have my own brain. There's your free plug, JR, for your podcast, The Ross Report. Go listen to it. It's awesome stuff. Love JR. Lifelong fan. And his opinion on, because we all know what happened with the baby, It's Cold Outside, because it's suggestive that a man is using the weather to somehow get a woman to stay overnight with him, right? Okay, even if you interpret the lyrics like that, which I don't, who cares? Who cares? You're kidding me, right? Are we going to now be offended that grandma got run over by a reindeer is murder? I mean... Are we going to be concerned about that now? Or I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus? Are we going to say that's adultery? I mean, really? Come on, guys. We have to have something better to do during the wintertime. It's such... The problem is this is such a sensitive... Everyone has to have a voice. Everyone has to be equally represented. Soft, just awful progressive mentality of the society that has contributed to this, that everybody has a voice. And if I'm just mildly offended, I can call the police. I mean, really, F off. Seriously. And I mean that. I'm so tired of this. It's leaking into a fantasy environment that we all just need to relax and enjoy. I can't relax if I'm triggered by something. Then sit in a room and close your eyes and make sure you don't watch anything. Just sit there and just maybe stare out the window. Maybe that won't offend you. Okay? God. All right, let's move on to some other things on Raw. And Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. So Drew McIntyre got his heat back. He beat Dolph clean. I don't know where Dolph is going at this point. Who knows? I don't think he knows. I think he's going right back into his home of Oblivion Boulevard. That's where Dolph Ziggler seems to have lived, and I guess he took a temporary hiatus with Drew McIntyre driving around with him. But he came back full circle, and I believe he's going right back to Oblivion Boulevard. Really. I mean, it's unfortunate because of how good of a talent he is. He is a very good talent, but I don't think WWE ever truly knew what to do with him. I really don't. Great in-ring worker. Didn't quite catch on that personality. He had about 75% of when he needed to take it to that next level and just could not. And again, his career is not over. I'm speaking like his career is, buried and dead, but it's not. But let's be honest, he's on the back nine of his career. It's called Father Time. I just don't think that WWE just ever really knew what to do with Dolph, and never really connected with the audience on a promo level. I really think that. So, all right, let's see what else is going on. Oh, so the Ronda Rousey comes out and basically, says that it's going to be a face to face that WWE advertised the whole night, and we don't get a face to face. We get like a Ronda coming out and Corey Graves acknowledged, she's not smiling tonight. Another kind of wink and nod that, hey, y'all are saying that Ronda comes out and smiles too much. She does. Especially after the beating that that Charlotte put on her at Survivor Series. She comes out the very next night, no limping, no bandages, smiling like, it's her first day in kindergarten and she wants to make friends. It was just embarrassing. It's terrible. I don't care if it's a wink, nod, and ha-ha, I hear you. You guys don't know what you're talking about. No, we do. You know how we do? Because of the reactions that these superstars are getting when it starts to fade or when the fans don't agree. And this whole ideology of, well, the fans are just rebellious. They just cheer for people you boo and they try to make themselves a part of the show. I think largely people react out of real instinct and real emotion. I don't think people react as a collective group, almost in a group think type of strategy. Like, he's cheering. I'm going to cheer because it seems cool to wait. We're not going to do what they tell us. We're going to do the opposite. I think when that happens, it's not a conscious decision. It's, hey, no. I like this guy. I like this girl. That's why I'm cheering them, and I'm booing the people that, A, I don't like and I think are being pushed artificially. So, I mean, it's simple psychology, and I don't buy into this. It's a defiant audience. It's not defiant just to be defiant. Dig a little deeper. And this is where JR, I mean, I love the guy. I really do. I think he's awesome. But, he constantly is talking about this defiant male audience or defiant audience. They're going against the grain just to go against the grain. They're booing Roman Reigns just to boo Roman Reigns because it's cool. It's heel. He's cool to do. No, it's not. That's not it. It's not because it's the cool thing to do. It's because people really feel that way. You ever think of that? Good grief. All right. So, okay, I'm going to touch a quick thing on Bayley and Sasha that, honestly, I mean, they're proposing that they become the first women tag team champions, which I think they're shooting for at WrestleMania, although not official, not announced. But does anybody care at this point about Bayley and Sasha? To be honest with you, I think their personalities are more towards heel tendencies of obnoxious. Everything they do is just lovely. They love each other. But honestly, if they turned on each other, I would care less because we've seen that twice. And I don't know if they knew where they were going with it. It was terrible then. It would be more terrible now if they did it. I think they would be best off to get the hell away from each other. Maybe even one go to SmackDown. Get the hell away from each other. Take a few weeks off and get reintroduced and just start a new storyline and forget this ever happened. I mean, seriously, they are... They're oil and vinegar, or what is it? Oil and water at this point. It's just they've destroyed this on again, off again, I care, I don't care, I love you, I hate you, I love you, no, I really love you, no, Bailey, I love you, to, well, there might be friction. Oh, wait, am I going to turn? It's just, who cares? Really, at this point, like, who cares? I mean, it's really sad to say for these two awesome performers, but they've just, I don't know if there's ever any congruity or long-term thinking about when these make these turns, and overall, there are way too many damn turns. Think about how many heel turns we've had this year. Just heel turns alone. It's astounding. I mean, you probably could count 10. Big stars. You know, not like, you know, main event level. And when I say main event, I mean the show. Main event. All right. Let's see. So, what else we got? What else we got? Yeah, we got the Elias deal, Leo Rush. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this Heath Slater deal. I'm willing to give it a chance. I like him as a referee, which is weird. I think he could be a really good heel referee, the way Nick Patrick was. If you guys remember back in 2002, I believe, 2001, when Nick Patrick was a crooked referee from WCW and he was screwing Kurt Angle. I think he could play that role very well as kind of the ref in the who's in the pocket of the general manager. The problem with that is if Corbin loses Sunday, then this all goes out the window. None of this matters. This could have been just a one-off. But I like Heath Slater as a crooked referee. I think the Heath, I got, you know, I got kids and the cheese whiz days with Rhino are over. I still don't think they got the most out of that they could, but there's more to Heath Slater than what we've seen. And him as a heel, I'm willing to give a try. I mean, just add that to the list of heel turns, right? It's crazy. The whole Ronda thing is, I kind of circle back to that. And so we get a Tamina versus Ember Moon. Great. So we get the woman who doesn't talk and no one cares about against the watered down version of what she was in NXT. But it's really about Ronda and Nia. And we end up getting none of really Ronda and Nia. And it was just weird. I think it was just kind of a neutral night for Ronda Rousey, which is fine. You're going to have that. You're not always going to knock it out of the park. And that it is what it is. All right. So look, some quick notes on SmackDown. Then I'm going to get my predictions, and I'm going to go through them fairly quickly so I don't bore you guys as I, you know, head towards this half-hour mark. Because, you know, guys, listen, I know my shows have really been terrible lately. They've been bad. I mean, I've been urinating on air, and I've been running the show just in an awful manner. So, all right, my humor is terrible. It's late. Okay, it's 10:15 at night for me right now. That's very late, and I have a kid that has to go to bed. All right, so I'll touch on the Daniel Bryan Mustafa Ali thing. So many looked at this as a dream match, and you know what? Down the line, I think it could be. I don't think it delivered that on SmackDown. I think it was very good, but I don't believe it had the time to breathe and given the amount of time that it should have to get that 5-star match. But I don't know if that was the goal anyway. I don't think it was. Bryan got the clean win, and as he should have. I thought it was very well done. I think people are asking me about 205 Live, and why are they on here? I think it's great. I don't know if they're actually going to be dissolving 205 Live and just saying the hell with it. We're incorporating cruiserweights on Raw without actually having a cruiserweight division. We're just going to make them a part of the main roster and blend them in with everybody else. I think it'd be fine. But if they're trying to get exposure for 205 Live, I think this is a great way to do it. It's like, oh, yeah, wow, yeah. So they're calling Mustafa Ali the heartbeat of 205 Live. Well, why? Well, let's find out. And they are forced to watch Mustafa Ali, who's associated with 205 Live, and see what they are maybe missing out on 205 Live. And I like it. I think it's a smart marketing. It's marketing their own product with their own product, with a more popular product, a more watched product, even though you could argue the ratings are plummeting. Well, you can't argue what they are. And last Monday night was the lowest rated Raw of all time. Terrible. Terrible. I mean, it's not good. Not good. But that's the thinking, and I think that's a smart marketing tool to do. So Let's see. So, yeah, Brian wins, and I expected him to win. He's going into a title match with AJ Styles at TLC. Come on. What do you expect? What really? What do you think is going to happen? Anybody who's got a singles match with a wrestler that they're actually not having the match with the week before the pay-per-view, they're beating that person. Whoever they're facing is just the sacrificial lamb to build them up and make them stronger before their match at the Sunday that they're competing. So what else we got? New Day, rap battle, don't care. Really don't care. New Days are, I guess, Usos and New Day and The Bar. Does anyone care who wins? I'm not talking about the rap battle, because that was, I mean, does anybody care who wins the SmackDown Tag Team Championship? I mean, it's kind of interchangeable at this point, isn't it? I'll get to my predictions in just a moment. Rusev is seemingly, I mean, I know he had a tag match with Rusev and Hardy versus Joe and Nakamura. But Rusev beating Nakamura, I don't think that can be overlooked. I really don't. Nakamura, who was the 2019 or 2018 Royal Rumble winner, main evented WrestleMania with AJ Styles. And I think over the back end of 2018 has cooled off, but still has an amazing upside, is still looked highly regarded, and Rusev beats Nakamura clean. People need to keep an eye on that. And I mean that in a good way. I think Rusev is an extremely underutilized talent. So just keep that in mind as we move forward, folks. That's just keep an eye on things with Rusev. And again, I mean that in a good way. So this Miz thing, guys, oh my God, back to the garbage here. The Miz in the ring, he's got the World Cup trophy with him, okay? You know, the trophy that he says he's a third of the winner in, or he says he's two-thirds and Shane is a third. He's got this obsession with Shane McMahon just agreeing to be his partner. Why? You main event at WrestleMania. Shane has not main evented WrestleMania one-on-one with anybody. He has performed in WrestleMania undeservingly. I'm not following this. I don't know where this is going. Anybody know or anybody care? Shane doesn't belong in the ring at all. I just wish Shane would turn heel. I know this is just another heel turn to add, but I don't consider him a real performer. He's just kind of like that extra that likes to get involved, and he's got privileges because he's the son of the promoter. And he just plays in the sandbox whenever he just wants to. So I don't consider him a real performer, because he's not. And you just turn him heel, just be the typical heel McMahon. Yeah, I think he played that well. Shane's been back for a couple of years now. He has worn out his welcome. It's time to just change the game, change uniforms, and see how you play for the other team. I mean, I think that's where they need to go at this point. Really. Really, just let's go, because if that's the end game here, great. I'm on board. Let's buy a ticket, and I'm leaving the train station. But to just continue this, I don't know. I really have no idea where this is going. Really don't. I don't know. Let's move on. So let's see if there's anything else here I want to address before I get to my TLC predictions. So Charlotte and Asuka, I mean, well, Asuka standing tall. Cool. I liked it. I think that pretty much is solidifying the fact that Asuka is not winning the championship at TLC. But hey, I've been proven wrong before, and WWE has, you know, basically led us down a path that they wanted us to lead us down and think we know what's going to happen, and they turn it. So we've seen that before, and I wouldn't be surprised. But at the same time, I think that this is going to be an indication that Asuka is not going to become walking out with the championship on Sunday. So, all right, let's just get into it. Let's get into my TLC thoughts and predictions, really. So let's start at the very top here. And let's start with AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. So I know that most people are favoring Bryan here, and I think with good reason. I think Daniel Bryan is the favorite. There's no question about that. And why WWE would put this on anyone else, put the championship on anybody else right now, would not make a damn bit of sense. I think Daniel Bryan needs to be champion right now. He's doing a good job on the mic. He's, again, talking about him who, you know, he's basically saying that he is superior to those of us who are just destroying the environment. I love it. I think it's great stuff. I really do. But I think Daniel Bryan has to win this match. Do not give it back to AJ Styles. Daniel Bryan is just starting to catch traction as a heel. So I expect a good match. Daniel Bryan wins, and it's probably by crook or hook, not legitimate. Probably another low blow, a rake to the eyes, something dastardly. All right. Finn Balor and Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre. I mean, Drew just has to win this one. And I mean that because where do you think WWE is pointing Drew McIntyre? You need to do nothing but look up, folks. Just look up. All right. Let's see what else we got here. We have Elias versus Bobby Lashley. And obviously there's a guitar hanging above the ring. I would say Elias should win this with his guitar hanging above the ring. I could see Lio Rush getting involved in this and Bobby Lashley winning. I'm going to go with Elias. I'm going to go with Elias winning this match because I think he needs it more than Bobby Lashley does. Why? Because Bobby Lashley is boring. Boring. There's really nothing else to say about that. SmackDown Championship, Bar, Usos, and New Day. Honestly, I don't care. I'm going to go with the Bar retaining. That don't know why. I think they're all great performers, great wrestlers. But like I said, the SmackDown Championship is interchangeable, so just might as well keep it on the Bar. Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin. I think Strowman wins this. I know that. I think everyone. Everyone believes that Braun Strowman's going to be there. I think that it's just a farce to believe that otherwise he will not. He's going to be there. Okay, and I think that Braun Strowman beats Corbin, and Corbin is no longer the Raw general manager. However, I'm concerned about this pick because many people are assuming that Lars Sullivan gets introduced, interferes, costs Strowman the match, and is the heavy for Baron Corbin. I'm concerned, but I'm going to go against the grain and say Braun Strowman beats the hell out of Baron Corbin, and we have no longer a Raw general manager that is driving down ratings. And I think that WWE recognizes it's time to make a change. I think before all this terrible booking and Raw ratings drop, they might have kept Corbin as general manager, but Corbin is taking up so much TV time that it's hard not to blame him in part for the drop in ratings. So I think Corbin goes. That's all I have to say. Intercontinental Championship match, Seth Rollins and Dean. I think Dean wins the belt. I think he wins the belt because it frees up Seth Rollins for WrestleMania season. I expect it to be physical. I expect it to be nasty. I think Rollins is going to put a beating on Dean. But I think Brock Lesnar is where Seth is headed. If not The Rock, which I'm just going to assume that's not going to happen. But Dean needs the belt. Or doesn't need it, but I think is on a better path with the belt than Seth is with the belt. I think he's run its course. He's been a very suitable champion. He's added value to the belt. And it's time to move Seth on to WrestleMania season. So Seth drops the belt to Dean. Rousey versus Jax. I think there's no question that Ronda Rousey wins this. I wouldn't say that it's going to be a rout. In other words, I don't think Ronda Rousey's going to dominate this match. But it's time for Rousey to get past Jax and put a beating on Jax. And Rousey wins the belt. Let's see. What else do we have here? Going down my list here. Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Asuka, TLC match. Oh, it's the first ever women's TLC match. Can we just get past all this first ever women's crap and focus on the damn match? I can't wait till all the first ever women's this, first ever women's that is done. Just because it's like it takes more importance. So the problem is WWE frames all of this first ever women's. That phrase is more important than the match and outcome itself. It's just about making history. It's nonsense. It's infuriating. I think, I'm seeing picks here. I'm looking at some people's picks. They're picking Asuka. That may not be a bad pick. I will be concerned if Asuka wins the belt. I'm not putting it past her. I'm still going to pick Charlotte to win. But the problem would be if Asuka wins, that means they're trying to free up Becky and Charlotte to face Ronda in a three-way at WrestleMania. And please, and I've said this before, God almighty, keep the three-way out of WrestleMania. It's not the time for it. It's Becky's year. Get Charlotte, the Roman Reigns version of the female division, out of the main event of WrestleMania. It's Becky's time to do this. Good grief. So I'll be concerned. I'm going to go with Charlotte because I want Charlotte to win so she can stay the hell out of the main event of WrestleMania, which sounds counterintuitive if you're the champ, but please, please. Good God. All right, so those are my picks, guys. The Cruiserweight Championship, I didn't mention that. I'm going to go with Buddy Murphy retaining. I think that, unless WWE has plans to call Murphy up to the main roster on Monday, I don't think there's any reason to end what's already been really a great reign as champion. So that's my pick there. I didn't touch on Rey Mysterio and Randy. Again, kind of a lackluster match. I think Randy wins that one. I mean, I'm sorry, guys, I'm rocketing through this, but I don't have a whole lot of stake in some of these. The Mixed Match Challenge Final, R-Truth and Carmella versus Jinder and Alicia. I'm going to go with R-Truth and Carmella. Why? Because, I don't know, two words. Dance break. I mean, really. I don't know. So those are my picks, guys. Thank you for joining me. Again, I'll be watching TLC live on Sunday with you guys. So follow me on Twitter if you want comments, if you want to give me feedback on what you're thinking during the show with all 12 matches. Don't worry. There's not going to be any shortage of things to talk about. So, guys, as always, thanks, and I'll talk to you next time.